Right, let's go on to the mailbag.
All right.
Because I've opened my sack up and
you fell. Oh my god! I thought he was about to say I've opened myself up.
He most did. He say it any other way? Hello and welcome to the Gossip Stone podcast, where we cover the Ocarina of Time randomizer. We focus primarily on the racing and competitive scenes, as well as various other related topics for the community as a whole. Hello, everybody. I'm Emo Soda, joined again, as always, by my co-hosts here, Chuckles.
Hello, world.
Okay, and Jimbo.
Hello, world.
XD.
XD.
No. Okay. Feel like I'm being messed with, but today we're going to be talking about, of course, Gossip Stone podcast. We recovered the Ocarina of Time randomizer. S9, of course, the main season tournament that's happening right now, as well as maybe some changes afoot. We'll be talking about that later on in the mailbag portion of the episode today, but first, let's focus on the main tournament. So at season 9 and how it's progressed since even the last episode, that was only a few weeks ago, and the bracket was just starting basically, and now we're almost done. So I feel like it's been going very fast, right?
Yeah, it's been progressing. I think we're behind the expected schedule. Like, this round should have been done by the 22nd of March, and on the recording of this, it's the 3rd of April. So it's about
a few delays.
Yeah, 2 weeks behind, but for a best of three kind of system, I feel like it's gone pretty well. We had some feedback from somebody saying that it would be great if the episodes were released quicker, because sometimes like you'll make an episode then release it and it's a few days afterwards and it's a bit out of date, and it's like, well, Mario vs. Nopons is playing in 2 hours time, so genuinely impossible for this episode not to be out of date by the time it's actually out. But yeah, Mario Nopons, the second match of that semi-final, is happening, and would have already happened by the time you listen to this. And Floosh Cola is the semi-final that has already happened, and Floosh went through 2-0.
Wow. 2-0.
Yeah, Floosh has not lost a game in the bracket phase. He went 2-0 versus Alpha, 2-0 versus Seti, 2-0 versus Cola.
All right. Damn. I
was on a tear, dude.
Is it best of five for the final? Is that right? Or is it...
No, it's all best of three.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, nobody could suffer five matches of Ocarina of Time.
I mean,
like, come on.
Maybe if like the whole bracket was best of one, and then the very last match was best of five, I'd be okay with that. I think it'd be okay. It'd progress a lot faster. I mean, like, is best of three even worth it, do you guys think, anymore? Or do you like how it curbs the variance a little bit?
I think best of three is fine for a final. I don't know. I don't like the fact that we went with best of three for the entire like bracket phase. I feel like that's a little bit too much, a little overkill. But I don't know. I'm fine with a best of three for the finals. I think it makes sense.
I think, Challenge Cup used to before do it so semis and the main final were best of three. And I thought that could have been extended a bit. And I'm just kind of looking for like the main bracket, because there's only 32 people. Like, do you do it just for the quarters, semis and finals? But there's only one round before that as well. So like, you just may as well do it for round of 16 for all of it. And then maybe Challenge Cup quarterfinal onwards. Because it is, you know, taking a long time to get through. like the Challenge Cup in particular, especially because it's got a whole nother round and had a bit more of a delay as we just because sometimes things like that happen. I think best of three is chill. I'm not too bothered actually playing it. Watching it as a spectator, it definitely just reduces like some of the intrigue. Like, why would you bother ever restreaming like a first match? Because
yeah,
it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just not. It's not really that interesting. It's going to be game two or three, just because that's, you know, it can actually lead to something and it's engaging. Game one is just like, man, white. it doesn't even matter almost, right?
Game one or two, really?
Yeah. Depends, I guess, on who wins.
Yeah, somebody can get knocked out in game two, at least. But in game one, like, nobody can get knocked out. So it's almost like a group kind of match, like the same kind of level as a group match.
I was thinking in terms of, like, best of five. My bad.
Oh, right. Best of five, yeah. That's the thing. Like, the first two, like... The first two can't. And then just imagine if both of those go 1-1, then the third game doesn't even matter then, doesn't
yeah.
it? Like,
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's the curse of Seeds just being long and even competitive randomized. I mean, you have like SGO settings right there a bit faster, but it's a little bit less intriguing just to play and route and all that. It's more about execution right there, right? But it's still like... a good like 30 minutes faster than these settings. These settings I feel like still go about like average 220, and then like sub 2 is really good, right?
Yeah,
like somewhere within that range.
That was the goal though too. I mean, we expect our average to be around 2.5, so SGL obviously is tailored towards a quicker style or a quicker gameplay. So
yeah, I mean, it could be even faster, right, too? So, like, best of fives could be, like, normally you could play in all in one day if it's, like, only, like, an hour tops per seed, something like that. I mean, it could be kind of a cool just way to experience another tournament, right? Tournaments wouldn't take months, it'd take, like, weeks instead. So,
yeah,
could potentially do, like, different ones, you know, host different settings, like, each time, you know, different focuses potentially. Be a lot more interesting, but... but I'm just looking at the bracket and I'm just like, I don't know, what do you think once you qualify for like the main tournament, wouldn't it be cool if it was like Swiss for like five rounds or six rounds even? I don't know.
No.
You mean like Swiss as opposed to like normal groups? Like just doing
Swiss pairing. Yeah, you just play anyone that hasn't lost, right? Or other 1-0s, other two, other 1-1s, that sort of thing. And then you would have to get like some number of wins to like go on to the next like sequence of the tournament, which could be like a best of three tournament bracket, but it's like eight people or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking of like alternative structures just because it takes so long for brackets with Ocarina of Time randomizer, just because again, the seeds are so long just in terms of time.
The Swiss will take longer though.
That's the problem. It's the length. Right?
It's like it's actually the longest of all the formats to have. So,
I think it's great for competition. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Just as like a player, I feel like it's very, player positive. But and I don't know about. Positive. I think on average, it would be a little bit slower, but be more consistent at least in terms of timing. Or it could be. Depends on how you want to like run the tournament too, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've never actually ran a Swiss tournament, so I don't have, or I don't even think I've even played in a Swiss tournament. So
I've done it four times now, bro. You should play mixed.
I've never played.
Play mixed.
Play mixed.
RSL, Franco, Multi World. You've played Multi World.
Multi World was this? Wait, was Multi World Swiss?
At one point, yeah.
It's been Swiss the last few years. I don't know when.
No, I played two seasons ago, so I don't know. Maybe it was Swiss. I just don't remember. I'm not entirely sure on that.
Long time ago.
I never did any of the scheduling, so I didn't really care. It was more or less I show up and play. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we have a match on this date. Make sure you're there. I'm like, okay, cool. Just show up and play, lose, and then that's the end of that.
Not surprising that then you left that team and then the year later that they got to the final. So
Shoulder joins and then they win.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Clearly, I was the problem.
All right, looking back at the bracket here for S9. So Felucia's kind of just waiting in the wings for Grand Finals.
And it's Mario No Pons. They're playing again in like a few hours from now. A couple days ago, hopefully, you know, ideal universe. While you're listening to this, it happened that long ago. But we'll see. We'll try and edit the episode faster for you listeners. Make it more relevant to you. So, I don't know. What do you think how S9 has kind of progressed just as like the bracket here? Anything stick out to you guys overall?
I think I was just looking through this bracket again, and it's just, for me, it's kind of clear that the bottom half of the bracket was much more competitive than the top half of the bracket, I feel. And I'm not saying that just because Zeph is in the top half of the bracket, but this bottom half of the bracket had Floosh, Xavi, Cola, Marco, Volk. The top half, you know, Mario Naestrel, yeah, and we know Mario. Zeph, Rafa, Duke, Exodus, and Exodus got knocked out straight away, and then No Pons, Tanjo. So the top half of the bracket, I'm not surprised that Mario is kind of like walking it, basically. It's always kind of been who was going to come through the bottom part of the bracket, and I wouldn't put any money on Floosh like at the start of that. Like, I know Floosh is good, but there are so many good competitors that, like, you know, Marco, Xavi, I think my money would have gone on one of those two.
Yeah, I think the only thing that really surprises me here, looking at the bracket, is quarterfinals, Cola and Marco. Cola 2-0-ing Marco is just absolute insanity. Then there was another one that I was a little shocked at. But I'm not... Oh, I guess the 2-0 on Xavi is kind of surprising too. So Cola literally back-to-back rounds, round one and in the quarterfinals, just 2-0-ing his opponents. I thought that was really shocking. Then moves on and gets 2-0'd by Floosh.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, that's the crazy part. So is it like a power scaling thing? I think they're all very good runners, but...
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So, the differences might be minimal, might be very seed dependent, very like, well, I skip this check kind of advantages, like very, very tight. So, but definitely interesting to see Floosh in the finals here. He's not won before. We're going to get a new winner, regardless of how it shakes out here. So either Mario, No Pons, or Floosh. Who do you think is going to win?
Mario. Hands down. Right. I don't even think it's a question, honestly. Like, no disrespect, but like, Mario literally has just been winning recently. Just winning everything, it seems like. And I say everything, and I just mean SGL. But like...
No, then he won mixed last year, too. So it'll be his third tournament in a row. Okay. Yeah, he did. So he's got a lot of ER experience. I feel like that helps a lot.
Yeah.
It's not mandatory or anything, but No Pons also has that experience. Floosh also has experience. They're all, you know, former RSL players. So not very shocking to see all of them at the top. Cola as well, too. Got to shout out him. Yeah, I think Mario probably takes it, but it'll be definitely a very interesting Grand Finals, Mario against Floosh. I'll look really dumb when it's No Pons Floosh, but that would also be interesting. I haven't seen them play before against each other. I actually have, but I don't remember it, so it's still exciting.
Yeah, that'd be a Franco versus Franco speaking.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'd be a very good... I feel this is going to be a good coverage for the finals anyway, so I don't think it'll be a really question of that necessarily, but you'll definitely have your pick, French or English or possibly German, all going at, you know, at the same time. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I think we were saying in the last podcast episode that we were kind of putting our eggs in the Mr. Mario basket, and that seems to be coming to fruition now. It's nothing against No Pons, but it's just like very few people are going to be able to go and take Mario to the wire. I think it'll be a good match. I think, you know, Floosh is a very, very good runner. This wouldn't have been the final I would have predicted whatsoever. And I think it's going to be great. Like, Flusha is, you know, great one runner, wonderful individual. Nice to represent Belgium as well on the stage. And, you know, Mario is just electric. And I think these settings just really fit the way he plays and the way he thinks. So, yeah, wouldn't be overly surprised to see Mario.
Yeah, he's fucking killing it, dude. And, like, obviously he's a friend of mine. I want him to win. I think he's going to win or move on to the finals. And then, yeah, win the final. But I almost want to say, I also want Nopons to make it to the finals, because honestly, I feel like that would be a more exciting match for me anyway, just because I don't know too much about Nopons as a runner. So, like, seeing Nopons in the finals against Flusha should just be like, holy shit, like, this guy, like, not to call him an underdog, but, like, to me, he's an underdog just because I don't know too much about him. So, like, it would be cool to just see him go up against Flusha.
It'd be definitely, yeah, like, the unexpected result, I would say. At it, like, looking, yeah, at, like, if you only saw the very left of the bracket round one, right? Like, who would you guess, or most people would guess, would be the final? And I think that would be pretty low. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't guess Nopons. And again, no offense.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, it's
I just feel everyone's like more good exciting here. So, like, they got out of groups too. So, even more good runners that fell in groups, including Ecola, right? So, yeah.
And Ecola was 2-0'd, right?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, like, that's, yeah, was crazy, yeah, in itself.
Yeah. Anything can happen. It's still randomizer. We're still mixing it up. Just got to see how it plays out. And sometimes it plays out in very weird and peculiar ways. But, you know, that's life. That's randomizer. So,
yeah. And Nopons was the one that knocked Ecola into the loser side of the bracket. And then he lost to Naestrel in that second match. So, and then Nopons was one down versus Duke and then came back to win two. So we're saying, like, the best of three kind of thing. If that was only one match, then Duke would have gone through. But yeah, the best of three, Nopons kind of clutched it in game two and three. So does he take Mario to a third game? I doubt it. No, I think very few people are going to be putting their challenge channel points on ZSR to Nopons. But
did you catch the first game?
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, I think it was either, like, when I was working too, so I didn't catch what actually happened. But
yeah, I'm curious close it was.
Yeah, I've missed out on quite a few games recently, unfortunately, just because of the timings and things like that.
Yeah,
I think, like, Flusha and Cola were playing their games at like 2 p.m. European time. So, like, just in the middle of the working day for everyone. So, like, these guys. Yeah, fun tournament. And near the end of it,
it was a 2:32 win against Nopons. And that's about all I can see.
With an FF, I assume, like, you didn't finish.
Yeah, 2:30. Yeah, it was DNF. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like S9.
Yeah. I mean, like, with the forfeit, I imagine it wasn't that close. So,
looks like it was like a dungeon selection kind of a thing. Mario went forest rather than Nopons went fire without bow. So, I mean, there's something in forest is what I can surmise from their chat log there in the race time room. But so perhaps just a bit unlucky for Nopons. Maybe he'll bring it back. I think it's possible for sure. I mean,
possible.
You juke, beat Tanjo, beat some other notable players in the groups too.
And that's it for the main tournaments, but we still have Challenge Cup as well. How's that looking?
Yeah, I think the last time we left this, I think the draw was going to happen. So we had like the runners who were going to go into there, and then after what might have been one of the most, I don't know, top three worst streams I think I've ever watched in my life, which was the TSG draw, unfortunately.
Oh.
Jimbo messaging me in the middle of it, being like, what is happening? yeah, quite unplanned And so, yeah, the draw happened. Some people weren't happy with the draw afterwards because, you know, especially, I don't know, hear from Emo themselves, because Emo was paired against Tensei and you two were like the top two seeds or something going into like the start of it.
I felt very rewarded.
You're going to,
this is my reward, is face the other top seeded player. Okay, yeah, it's very good. And I lost, by the way, to two very dumb mistakes. So I feel like I would have beaten them, like, had I been playing like optimally, like normally. But I was a bit nervous for both of them. The first one, we both mispeaked the crater item on the volcano. Me, because I had said it was a wallet the first time, and I was like, I should do something else and not like focus on that. Because we were given Bolero and River Access pretty early on, so you could just like rush that if you want to. But the bomb bag was in G2G, just like kind of sitting there for free. And we both kind of thought it was a bomb bag instead of a wallet on the volcano. So we ratted around that, and like it still gets you bomb shoes at the fortress area, but you do G2G first and get the bomb bag. So it's a double feels bad for both of us, and we were both kind of panicked. It was a tight finish. And we both thought we were gonna lose, so it's kind of funny. But the second game, I just like forgot path priority even existed as like a concept in my head. Like, I understand it and all that, right? But in the moment of the race, I wasn't thinking about it at all, and it turned out it just like was a flashing neon sign to the last item, and I got it switched around in my head. I reversed it accidentally because I was nervous. So you can go watch the E-Cola restream. I haven't watched it because I'm embarrassed. Because he's like,
oh no,
the whole shit is flaming me. They're all like, he doesn't understand path priority. Look at this guy.
Dude, that shit happens though, honestly, mid-race. So, like, whenever I play, I zone out on that shit all the time as well.
You just never know what's going to happen in the moment too. Like, yeah, I had really good qualifiers, but I was like overperforming a little bit. Just in terms, you know, my history with the qualifiers and all that, but I definitely underperformed for this though. So it was kind of going from a very high to a very low. Just kind of a feels bad. Like, if I had gotten like a weaker opponent, I probably could have won against, you know, slightly worse players, even given those performances. And I would have tightened it up because, you know, you shouldn't be making those kinds of mistakes in a bracket, right? For a tournament that you qualified for. So, I kind of realize my own like shortcomings like that, but definitely annoying to like have your like your gun loaded, you know where it is, you're gonna pull it out, and then it's like fires like water or something instead of like a bullet. I'm just like, well, that wasn't quite what I had planned, but like, you know, so I feel a little bit bad about it, but like, you know, the tournament's taking forever, in my opinion. It should be a lot faster. It started way too late. It should have started the same time as the main tournament. In my opinion, would have made a lot more sense. It would have been made it a lot more exciting for me because I grinded the whole time. I was just like playing every day, S9 pretty much, just trying to get better. So, you know, you extend that a few weeks, sure. Extend that by like a month. It just makes it unpalatable at that point because I've played like 100, you know, something seeds, and somebody else has played like 20. So, I don't know. It took it out a little bit for me, just the enjoyment, just getting paired against Tensei, then underperforming just made me feel a little bit worse. But now I'm out of it. I don't have to worry about it. So, you know, it frees up my schedule a lot. My weekends are pretty free now. I'm playing a lot of old school RuneScape for you OSRS fans
out
there.
Hell yeah. Let's fucking go. Leagues April 15th, Chuckles. Baby. Sorry.
Jim, but going full blown ad again. He's adding out, dude. Just like the other episode. Chuckles, you're still in the tournament doing pretty well, I would say. How do you think you're doing right now?
As of the recording of this podcast, I'm in it. By the time the podcast is released, I may not be. As I've got my game 3 versus Louis Ferns tomorrow afternoon. Yeah, I feel like your draw was pretty mean. But you're also like, oh, you won, so you were rewarded with Tensei. But Tensei lost a match and therefore had to go against a hard opponent. And I think that is just kind of rando, isn't it? Rando is just that variance is there. And I think, you know, I actually think a lot of people in that second pool of people are actually the more difficult players, because Barrel was in that pool, I was in that pool. So, you know, it's hard as well. Yeah, loads of good runners were in this, and yeah, I've watched quite a few of these matches. It's been good fun playing and watching in these. I think Skank is a very good player. My first round versus Skank, his execution is actually a lot better than most of the people in this tournament. Probably better than mine as well at points. So he was pretty good. What are you laughing at?
I just realized it just clicked in my head that guy's name is Skank.
Skank, yeah.
Yeah, with like Skank an underscore K. Between the K and the N at the end.
I always called him Skank. I've never actually like put it together in my head. It's how fucking stupid I am, dude.
His name's probably just Skank. But like I could just call him Skank because why not? I'll do what I want.
You gotta go with the gym and then dash O. You know, changing it.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, I mean, just looking at the people on here, they're kind of very people you would expect to get through. Like Yo-Yo's got through, Barrel's got through, Manu's got through. I was kind of in the start of the tournament, I was saying Manu's going to do really, really well. You know, Fur's got through, Zoro's got through, and these are the quarterfinals. My match versus Lufen is the last match of the round of 16. Some people have dropped Martin. I mean, Martin lost to Kasinja. You know, these are matches, again, 2 out of 3. So Martin lost 2 matches versus Kasinja. And the last match, there was just an item on 20 schools, and Martin decided that he wasn't going to collect any schools. And that's how you lose a match. Like, yeah. Doesn't matter how quick and how good you are.
Nine. You just can't do that in S9.
Definitely not.
Yeah. So generally, like, Kasinja is probably the more surprising one, but her routine has just been like, we've free streamed and watched a couple of matches, and her routine has just been good. And while she might not have the best execution, if you can root well and you can think about the progression well and what you're going to do and when, then it doesn't really matter how good you are at the game and how bad your rolling is. No offense, Kasinja. You're going to progress and you're going to do well and you're going to be in with a shot. And her 2 matches versus Francois, she cleaned up shot quite easily. So, like, it'll be
that
fun.
Could be because, you next.
Yeah, I was going to say, the winner of me versus Louis France plays Kasinja next. So,
either way, that match is pretty exciting. So, I'm looking forward to that personally. We also got Zoro and Fur at the bottom there, also in the quarterfinal. Then top of the bracket, again, Yo-Yo and Wooden. I feel like Wooden Barrel just shows up for Challenge Cup, has plot armor, and then just like wins. And then doesn't play any rando for the rest of the year. It kind of blows my mind every time. He's in the top 8 against Yo-Yo. And then Maison de Manu, which I think most of us said was going to maybe win the tournament. Still in it against Doc, and Doc is showing up to the tournament. So looks like many maybe dropped from the tournament after a game.
He actually he lost his first match versus Link Hylian, and that was a big thing because Link Hylian was the 96th seed coming into the tournament, and then what got through groups, or the 94th seed, one of the 90s, and then he lost his first match versus Link Hylian, and it's like, oh geez, hop heaps, you gotta get back into it. But then he did win two. He then won 2 matches versus Manu, and now up against another French person in Manu. So that's going to be a really, really tough match for Heaps. As long as Heaps just, you know, he's playing well. As long as he just keeps going, he's in with a shot. But that Yo-Yo Barrel match is going to be like really, really spicy. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing the result of that, because I don't know, then the winner of that could play Manu or Heap, so it's like, I don't know.
It should be close ones either way. I think it'll be good. whether or not there'll be a restream. There hasn't been a TSG restream yet the whole year, the whole tournament, right? No English restreams at all.
Well, there have been English restreams.
Has there? Okay. Yeah. We got one?
There's been two English restreams. Neither of them have been on TSG.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Slug Central?
They've been on Slug Central.
Let's go.
Which matches were those or games?
We had the first match between Cassandra and Francois. And no, there's been maybe there's been three. No, there's been two. The first match between Francois and Cassandra that I restreamed on there. And then my last match versus Skank was on there.
Okay. That's honestly, like, that's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, the tournaments aren't really overlapping that much. I mean, you know, the main tournament's still happening, but even if you like put them like literally overlaid, like how it's kind of intended, right? I'm not sure they would even get, you know, the same number, maybe more. I don't know, but
that is baffling to me, honestly, man. Like, we're sponsoring the tournament. Like, it's literally the TSG Challenge Cup tournament. We haven't had a single fucking restream.
Yeah, it's just kind of odd, right? I don't know.
That's weird. Like, it's just weird. I don't know.
There's just like no effort. Like, I'm in the restream planning channel and for that. And there's just no effort.
Not good, dude.
No effort whatsoever. So yeah, we've decided that we're just gonna, you know, try and of course it's like we've been restreaming the people that we're interested in. Like, we would have really liked to have like put heaps on as well, but now at this point I may as well just like continue just like putting on every match, so at least there's a record of it somewhere.
Yeah.
Somebody, exactly. Yeah, seriously, I'm glad you brought up Slug Central, because I was gonna ask if we had a Cassandra versus Chuckles matchup, are we gonna see a Slug Central restream?
Absolutely, we are definitely seeing Slug Central restream. So much so that T's actually away, and we're like, okay, we'll wait for T to come back before we schedule a match if it's us two.
That's so good. And it's BYOB. Everybody bring your own alcohol.
Oh yeah, you gotta have a drink whilst on Slug Central. We've been getting like, you know, 15, 20 viewers like on average. Like, there's no huge numbers whatsoever, but it's a good time. At least getting some of these matches on. Like, I would actually love to put some of Yo-Yo and Barrel on as well.
I'd say fuck it, dude, do it. I mean, nobody else is gonna do it, I guess. You might as well.
Sorry, fair. We'll get French and Brazilian probably restreams, and maybe there'll be French restreams for Yo-Yo, but I guess it leads into, like, if we're done with that, it kind of leads into the next bit, to be fair, which is any other final comments on CC?
No, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's just too early to make a prediction of what's going to happen for finals anyway, because there's so many matches that have to happen.
The tournament's not ending until June, so better buckle in if you want to win your match, Chuckles. So.
Yeah. Unfortunately, some of the delay is my fault as well. I had to ask for an extension because I lost my internet for a few days.
I don't know. I feel like that's pretty fair, though.
Yeah, and we were able to do it, but like I said, we're the last match of... On Saturday, and there hasn't been a single quarterfinal match yet, so I don't feel like I'm dragging my feet. Starts of quarterfinal matches start tomorrow on Saturday. I think Fur versus Zoro in European afternoon time, and then Manu Heaps and me and Louis Ferns basically play at the same time. So tomorrow,
dude. I'm looking at the Star TG page, and if you look at the top left corner, it tells you the duration of the tournament, and it says from February 6th to April 15th, 2026.
Oh, there we go. We better get to April.
That's the joke of the year, man.
There's no fucking way. That.
2 weeks
to go. I will screenshot it.
2 weeks
to go. That's no way, dude. That's crazy.
It might be a bit interesting. Should we pick a finalist from the top half and a finalist from the bottom half?
Sure, yeah. We can go on and around here. Do you want to start?
I feel like the top half, you've got Yo-Yo, Barrel, and Manu, and I think it could be any of those. I think this is a case where the top half of the quarterfinal onwards is tougher than the bottom half, I would say.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree. Yeah.
A little bit, I guess.
Like Fur, you know, could be a Fur Manu final.
Yeah, I do think Fur is gonna move on. I don't know about the top half, man. The top half is so hard to predict.
I think it'll be Manu, Barrel, and then Barrel goes through.
Yeah, I guess I can agree to that. There's definitely a world where that happens for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I guess bottom half, I guess Fur, like, just based on, like, I don't know, past tournaments and whatnot, like, Fur probably most likely ends up in the finals from bottom half. No offense.
But I think it could be me, Fur, in the semifinals. I think that's a big possibility. Could be Louis Fur.
Yeah, that's possible.
That could be big Brazilian match, you know.
It's possible.
I want the finals to be Doc against Chuckles because I think that'd be hype.
But, that would be so sick.
That would be so good.
That's the one stream that TSG goes live.
And that is the one that Slug Central will just restream at the same time as well, because who gives a shit? Like, yeah, they're our boys. Like,
but what I think is going to happen, it's going to be Cassandra and Yo-Yo. I think.
Wow. Dude, that would be shit. So hype.
That would be great.
I mean, she's been playing very well, and out of the four, the top four here in the top half, I think anything can happen, really. Kind of just very moment dependent what happens, and we'll see what happens, really. But I could see any combination of those, but I think that's what's going to happen. But definitely rooting for the Doc and Chuckles match. Be so sick.
I don't know how I'd feel about knocking Cassandra out and then knocking Heaps out to win. Like, I think I feel really bad. Let's move on to the mailbag. Got a few messages, and actually I was kind of thinking about putting this topic in here anyway, and then I was like, oh, I would have a bit more validity for me putting this in if somebody else had kind of asked this question. And actually two people have asked like adjacent things to the thing that I wanted to speak about. So I felt like I was absolutely vindicated to putting this in. So two questions. First one, these are word for word. These aren't my, you know, this is not me speaking. This is the listeners speaking. And the first one's asking, should tournament organization teams require reapplication every season? RSL struggles for orgs. They don't ask for help. SGL was farcical in places. Other tournament settings are feeling stale, or would this lead to no one volunteering? And the second one is SGL online live organization player participant levels overall. They're all dropping. Discuss. And I think this leads to a wider question that I think. Is Ocarina of Time randomizer, as we have played it and as it's been organized and structured, is it time to move on from what we've got? And I'm not saying, you know, like, let's just delete Ocarina of Time randomizer. I'm not saying that. It's been happening for a few years now, but look at some of the old kind of events, League, RSL, weeklies, right? Where are they at the moment? They're nowhere to be seen. They don't have any organizers.
It's all their faults, collectively, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually their fault.
Half the league team's gone. Half of the RSL's team's gone. People are, you know, the tournament organization team for the main tournament are dropping as well. There's no race mods, right? Like, nobody's volunteering. I think it's because the old guard has gone. And nobody new is coming in, or nobody's being asked to even take over. And then the side communities are just growing. Like, the Franco Discord is humongous now. Like, that is almost like the most active community, and not even, you know, the main Ocarina of Time randomized Discord. The side quest Discord, that's now the old Mixed Pools Discord. It's a Discord that's now been called the side quest Discord, because it's going to have a lot of tournaments, other tournaments in there, including MQ and some other stuff that's potentially going on behind the scenes as well. So it just leaves me to an overall question of, where does UTA organization, where is UTA organization moving? And can we see a world in which the Franco Discord hosts the next main tournament?
I think the short answer to that question is no. Only because I don't, like, Zelda speedruns just would never allow that to happen. The problem is, and I don't even know if it's really a problem at this point, but the French community, or that Discord, houses enough members to run their own tournament as it is, as they have been doing, like with the Franco tournament and the Tournament of Truth, etc. They have the numbers. We don't have the numbers. Our numbers have been in decline, as you've said, for a number of years now, showing no sign of stabilization. They just keep dwindling. So will they be considered the next main tournament? Again, I don't think that'll ever happen, but I don't know. I you can make the argument that this community is just going to slowly die out if, you know, we continue this trend. It'll never be, I don't think it'll be as prestigious. But I don't know, man. It's tough.
Yeah, it's kind of
like,
we're
in a tough spot.
10 different questions here, all kind of morphed into one, but I think the question itself is kind of self, like, fulfilling, right? Like, where's the people that'll help with organization as you, like, throw your hands up in the air and stare at the clouds? It's like, well, you could try and help too. That would also be kind of helpful in realizing that, right? So I feel like the question itself and asking it, the more you ask that question, the more true it's going to be. But it is true to some extent. I think the English restreams, at least for the S9 main tournament, have gone fairly well. I think their quality is definitely a little rocky. It's either up or down, pretty much. But in terms of, like, just visual quality and uptime, you know, all that sort of good stuff, I think it's been very good. Just whether or not I have it on mute is the real question. But I don't think that's really anybody's fault. I think more players should do commentary, or at least consider it. It's fairly easy. You're talking about the game that you already play, right? So I think that's the number one issue still. And it kind of has been for the past few years. But so I think that kind of angle, at least, could get solved very easily by just a handful of people saying, hey, I'm going to try this. Because apparently it's not that hard. And it's randomizer. It's something that you're already interested in, clearly, as a player. So I think that change needs to happen before anything else. But in terms of RSL, I can speak to, it was already like a very small team even when I was in it. That was like 6 months ago. Nothing's happened. But people haven't really been asking. They have recently in the public discussion channel for RSL. And so that's hopeful. Maybe in a few months we'll see a season happen. What happens in that, and like what kind of set, you know, weights and stuff that they're going to use. That very open question, but there is some movement there. SGL, I think they're moving in a positive direction for SGL. Getting a little bit more focused, their team's getting a little bit more broad, right? Because the MM and OT teams are like together now as like one. So I feel like they'll have a better sense of direction in terms of how they want to approach that league. I could maybe volunteer to help with league. I've been thinking about it actually, just to get it going because I enjoyed it so much. But I'm pretty time invested already, right? Like I only work 4 days a week, but it's still like a struggle to even get like my personal like stream plus podcast plus like some random commentary like maybe 1 or 2 days of the weekend, and then I have to go back to work and can't really help during the weekdays because I'm also on the West Coast 2/3 of the year, right? Like due to the time zone thing. So at least personally, I feel like I should be doing more, but I think collectively we could be doing a better job for sure. But I think the number one thing or number two thing rather is just, yeah, tournament organization should like every person should like kind of reiterate like, well, should reiterate that like why they're there, why they're interested, you know, as like an active participant rather than just like a member of a club, right? Kind of a big difference there, but they definitely should ask for help if they need it though. I think asking for help is probably one of the hardest things to do. Just generally. So I get why people don't do it, but whatever the case, I think it should be more player driven, just period. Players should help more, but it's kind of a combination of factors that kind of create this climate of kind of no weeklies because there's so many different things and people are now a little bit more splintered. It's been a continuing issue for like the past few years, right? So it's not like it's coming out of nowhere. It's just getting worse. And we're not like collectively coming together even during the main tournament, really. It's kind of one-sided, like with the coverage, like being mostly French, right? So I don't think there's like an easy answer or, you know, one thing like fits all the problems, right? Kind of a solution that we can come to. But I think more active participation, like if you've been even thinking about helping, you should definitely look into it because it's really not that hard.
I think it's like this season just feels like everyone's kind of done this season more than any season, I feel like, because even last season so many people came out to play like league. There was like, we had like 114 people play league. I felt like people, there was a real like desire to play. And just after this, I just kind of like, you know, Jimbo's, you know, off playing bloody shiny hunting for Pokemon. Like people are just doing like other things. People aren't, you know, invested in watching into it. I don't really know what the thing is. We spoke about it before and like why the French restreams are so good and their sense of community. And because they own it, it's on their channels. They have like a reason to like make it good and kind of do it, and I think those two things just work really well.
They're very close knit, like the community. Yeah, they're very close together, so yeah
they seem to have a group, whereas like, you know, you look at the commentator channel in like the OOT randomizer Discord, like how many times is baseball pinged for active commentators? Like,
again, more kind of 200? A fault on that. We scheduled over it, so you know.
Hey, we're gonna be done before this is over, before that race starts.
Oh,
I get, so.
Oh, really?
I mean, you can jump into it. Like, I would say I would also jump into it, but it does start at 10:20 my time. So
yeah, a little late. I think for you guys, but
I'm part of the problem because I have no desire to jump on and commentate.
Why don't Emo and Jimbo commentate the Mario?
That'd be a lot of fun. You want to, Jimbo?
No, I'm not doing that.
Damn.
He needs to go and catch some green Pidgeys.
Like. Just not interested right now?
I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Just rando, just, you know, I don't know. I'm just not feeling rando right now, dude. Like I feel like that plays into a lot of this.
Yeah, I think that's okay though too. Like it just like could be a thing that like lots of people are feeling that way at the same time. I'm just like curious as to like why the reason, like if it's like a unifying factor, like it
like GTA 6 didn't come out yet, right? So like it's not, that's not the case, but you know, maybe something else, but or if it's just a random trend. I don't know.
I would love like stats to see, like, I mean, I'm sure we could compile these on our own just by like looking at race time races, but like I'm genuinely curious, like how many people are still racing at all.
Surveys haven't been great anyway to get like information out of the community. They just don't like answering surveys. They just don't, they don't view it as like a positive thing. So it makes it tough for like organization teams. Like they kind of have, that's why they have to have their own vision for the tournament rather than like rely on feedback. Like, okay, the like five people that always like answer. Okay, well, I knew what they were going to say, but you know, trying to get the like 10, 20 people that will still play in the tournament, but say something before it actually happens or things are solidified. It's like one of the hardest things about organizing, and it's just, it's not really your fault or anybody's fault. It's just kind of a thing that happens. So,
and to that point, like we have the weekly settings proposal sheet, for instance, and like I just pulled open, I opened up the sheet and I see three responses, and it's like, you know, well, like I don't want, you know, you're bitching about settings, but I don't see anybody actually contributing to, you know, give us different settings ideas that you want to play. So we went with Shiro's for the last, what's the word I'm looking for? Block, not block. No, just enjoy, like the 2 week schedule thing. I can't think of the word right now, but you know what I'm trying to say. So that block, we went with the advanced logic thing, and you know, to no one's surprise, I would say there wasn't any major turnout for those settings, just because I don't know, the community's been pretty apprehensive with that kind of stuff for as long as I can remember, having all those like extra tricks and glitches enabled and whatnot. But you know, we still wanted to give it a shot and try it out and see what happens. And yeah, ended up not working out too well. But then again, like there's no, I'm looking at the sheet and there's really no like alternatives. So like it's just tough trying to plan around that when, you know, nobody is doing their part to help out and like, you know, try and, I don't even know what I'm trying to say at this point. You can just cut this out.
But okay, I think it does make sense, but it's also, why would I help out with the weeklies? Like I never,
there's no incentive for it.
There's no incentive to play. And actually fuck you all. I did make a weekly set in string that nobody played. So yeah.
What one was that?
When we did songs on Dungeon Rewards before season 9, like
okay, well I wasn't on the team then, so I didn't know
people
that
people didn't play that. So I just think it's just one of those things. People won't play it. Like I don't know. It's...
Dude, I'm looking at the sheet for this season. I don't give a fuck about last season.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If me and Mel formulated a set of string, nobody played it. Why would I make another one?
Yeah, I mean that's a fair point. I wouldn't expect you to make another one either.
Yeah, after
that. I will say though that the like collective effort we have put into S9 beyond like organizing and all that too is like, it's definitely still front loaded by like three people, basically just three streamers. But so like that also needs to increase if we want more like consistent coverage, right? More quality coverage. Just so you know, but again, there's like no incentive right now to help like kind of a third party beyond just like, for the love of the game, saying like, hey mom, I was on a, you know, I provided commentary for a race, you know, that's kind of cool. Yeah. Right, like
it's not even like a third party at this point though, because like you're playing it.
It's not like I'm gonna, so put like, on my stream too, but at the same time though, just in terms of like how attractive of an option for my free time is this, is currently kind of low. Like there's, I mean, like why would I, beyond love of the game, right?
Yeah, no, I get it.
So yeah, open question for sure.
Yeah, I think my kind of final point would be is that there is no way that TSG can host the next Challenge Cup. Like, that is actually just, every element of that has just been, to use a word that the original question used, farcical. There's been zero coverage. The tournament was delayed because the organizers couldn't get their act together in doing a restream for it. I've seen some of the comments and the chat from that. So I know there was kind of no effort to do that. And there's nothing that they are doing that can't be done by people who are more into it, and by, you know, in doing it in like the side quest Discord and actually having organizers of it that actually want to do something. Like, why would anybody want to do stuff for TSG these days? Because there's no community there. Before, when Hell Knight was, and everybody was, Tobias, Dastar, you know, all these people were trying to make a really good community over there, and it was really good fun, you know, to at the time. It's, there's now no community there, so I don't see any reason for that to be there now.
What can they do better that ZSR can't do better? Like, nothing, right? Like, that, just as a starter. And then also, like, again, like, and, you know, the side quest server, not to boost my own shit, but I mean, I feel like we do a good job there. And because I was on both the MQ team and the mixed pool team. So like, even I can do a bit. Like, you can do a bit. I'm sure Jimbo can do it better.
I can tell you right now.
It seems a bit critical, but I mean, currently as it is, yeah, I think that's the case. Even beyond just like communication, like messaging, tournament stuff, just like, we didn't even talk about the Mufte and Klo match, where Mufte did not show the required settings on RetroArch.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Per the rules document.
Oh, I didn't know this.
This incurs a DQ in Ward Force Game 3. And then the next paragraph. However, both runners have agreed to keep the result of Game 1. So Mufte will advance the round, having won Game 2 as well. Like, why aren't... Like, no, first bullshit. we had SDL Online, which didn't have like a complete rule book, right? And now we have like maybe a complete rule book, but now we're just allowing players to ignore the rules. Like, that doesn't really make sense to me. If you're gonna make the rules in the first place, why are we just not even adhering to them? So like, even the tournament organization aspect has kind of been pretty poor. Like, I just don't see it. Like,
Emo, that's not my, even a tourney org thing, dude. That's like, race mods need to step in and say, like, this race is invalidated. Like, plain and simple. Like, you started off enforcing it that way. Like, you gotta maintain that.
You gotta follow through if you want it to be your rule.
Just to clarify that, this might actually be even more like annoying, but that is not actually what happened. What Nastro posted is not actually the process of what occurred. So in defense of the race mods, the race was DQ'd, and so they would have to play a game 3, except KLO was on holiday, he was on vacation, and so couldn't play in the time frame, and therefore decided to give that third match win to Mufte.
But
so
why isn't
that's
it...
even worse that even the messaging was incorrect.
why didn't they just write that then? Like, who ca- like...
Yeah, that's terrible.
Due to player unavailability. Like, you don't even have to make it, like, about, like, the player, like, specifically, just so people don't go after him, like, for, like winning and then, like, dropping or whatever. Because,
that's what sad, but, like, you can't play. Because Mufte then drops from the tournament.
Yeah, the next rounds.
Wait, is that how Manu moved on?
Yeah.
That's how Manu moved on.
Not Manu.
Yeah, Manu, I'm sorry.
Manu, yeah.
Manu.
Yeah, Mufte lost the first match. And then quit. And then it was like, if KLO just decided to play a match, like, that could have just been him in the next, like it's just diabolical, actually, that was from Mufte's perspective. We were speaking before about, like, Ryukane and Ryukane quitting, and I was less adverse to Ryukane quitting because he didn't actually knock anybody out of the tournament.
Yeah.
And Mufte's knocked people out of the group phase and in the bracket phase and then just decides to leave. And I think that is... I know you are an individual and you are... It is a video game and it is a hobby and it is, you know, basically your tournament. You can do what you want. But also... You are playing with other people, so don't be surprised if you're not allowed into any other tournaments after that, because that's just like, that's not on. We have this process with League. If you don't like the group that you're in or you don't play your matches, you're not playing again. You're not being allowed to play again. And
I would at the very least address it if they're like planning on playing in like your tournament, for example, and you've seen that like the last like five, they've gone to like, I don't know, like quarters and drops like every time, like. I would definitely ask them, just be like, okay, what's, are you going to do this again? Or because like, we want to maintain like the tournament integrity. So
Sure.
I think that's like the main thing that needs to happen in that situation. But I mean, it depends on what they say too. Like you could just say, no,
you're not participating in this tournament. Sorry. That's a right that they have. But also in the universal racing rules, though, you can forfeit any race at any time for a competitive rando. So, like, it's still down to tournament organization how you want to approach it. Either write it down in your rule book and you have an answer for everything, right? Or you just kind of free flow and just see what happens. But I tell you, one approach works way better than the other. That's that adhering to what you already, you know, agreed to do in the first place. You know, messaging that to runners is really important. So that's like step one, and TSG is even failing that. So I would tend to agree.
I mean, I think something like that falls on the runner too, because it's kind of annoying that like one of your players like enters the tournament and then says they can't play within said time frame. Like, you're in a best of three. Yeah, like, you would have known that.
Yeah.
You would have potentially had to play at this time. So like,
that's on the fact then.
That it's so. Just the whole thing's annoying.
Well, he could have got an extension probably, because I'm guessing Kayla would have been back in like a day or two of like when the deadline would have been. Like,
but it's also
surely could have been options to async it as well. Like, which is kind of why, what kind of like, I don't know,
there's multiple outs. There's multiple outs to the very simple problem that.
Do you trust an async though? Like, let's be real here. Like,
it's better than just forfeiting.
Well, with the way organization has been,
if you have timestamps for the submission, then you can't really, unless you're like a coding genius, I guess. And I don't think it's like commonly possible for most racers to like cheat your timestamps on your submission for racing. But even if you did that and got caught, you would just get banned forever. So
just
like,
be yeeted.
So I don't know. I don't mind if that would happen. Like, someone got caught via an async. I'm not saying that should, you know, hoping that happens or something like that, but that's how a cheater goes out. I mean, sure, whatever. Integrity is like maybe a little bit less, but like, because you don't know if they're going to be like in a call, like they could split their audio, they could have somebody in the room and not have their mic on. So,
but that can happen in a live race as well.
Yeah, exactly. So it's about that's why I'm saying it's about the same. Like, even if it doesn't feel feel like the other person has an edge because they played first, or, you know, I don't know. But I think it's mostly the same. As long as, again, but it goes back to tournament organization, and it goes back to, you know, responsibly, you know, respecting everybody's time, right? That's kind of like the base kind of expectation. So.
Yeah, I don't know. We're in a very, very odd, weird place. An Ocarina of Time randomizer.
Should we have like a new corner to the podcast, like the rumor corner?
the rumor is.
I want to spread one.
Change this square into a pentagon and add a new corner.
Yeah, just say whatever, dude. Fuck it, anything goes. I'm curious to see how like future seasons are going to operate, because I'm stepping down. Somebody else is stepping down from the tourney org team. I don't know if they want to be named on the podcast, so I won't say their name, but there's at least two of us that are gone. Another person rage quit during the tournament. It's no longer part of the tourney org team. So they're going to be down three people already. We plan on releasing and this can go in the pod, I don't care. We plan on releasing our recruitment form soon. So who knows who's going to apply to that. From what I understand, race mods are in shambles. Like, this whole community is in disarray right now. So, like, I don't know what the fuck is going to happen for next season or the off season or, like, anything for that matter. I don't know where we're going to go from here.
I do.
In the shitter.
Jesus Christ. The fifth mixed schools tournament is happening this year. I can confirm that. It's gonna be May or June start time, probably June, just to make it consistent with past years. But we're leaning the org team, me, Cassandra, and TJ right now, because What the Hells and Bear have stepped down temporarily, but they're still in the channel, so you can still see everything. So it's effectively five people, three active, but we're leaning towards just running the same season settings as season four. Back for season five, so just no changes, just keep playing. And I think that kind of speaks to the strength of our settings kind of
development, like getting to this point and getting like the Mitobot integration with Fennel. We figured that out last year, right at about when it like released. So I feel like we've been on like the forefront of like tournament technology and just to, like, be preparedness and all that, and just like the expectation of players, and, you know, communicating that. I think we've done a really good job, and I can't wait to do it again. We're going to be starting in a few months here, but remains to be seen what we add. Currently, I'm leaning towards cows. Personally, I think it'd be cool. Maybe the important item hints could be kind of cool to see that in a mixed pool setting. Could help out a lot too. It could be a lot more powerful than Foolish and saying all the entrances that are item hints or like item locations. Those are all dead. Like, rather than saying like Foolish, it could be a little bit, you know, it's just more interesting to see, right? So we have that coming up. And then also a tournament that hasn't been announced yet, the Escape from CAC tournament, is happening this year. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with that format?
Not the format. Or you just mean like the settings, like how the seed plays in general?
Yeah, just Escape from CAC seeds.
I remember talk about it in the What the Hell's side Discord, and I heard it was really fun. I don't really know too much about it, so if you want to explain it again, that would be great.
Sure. So it's basically, technically, it's mixed pools with no overworld entrances, but you're in CAC at the start. So you got to escape CAC, quote unquote, right, by completing, I think it's three bosses at the ends of dungeons. So there's three dungeons that you have available to you in CAC, among all the other like stuff that you have. So it's like a restricted world where you're trying to escape CAC, quote unquote, by completing these three bosses so that you can then escape CAC by getting, I think it's like a song that just like warps you out. And then that's the end of the seed. As far as I understand it.
I remember what it is. I think if you play it, it might be Song of Time, or I think you play Song of Time and it changes your age.
Oh, yeah. So you go to Temple of Time.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, it seems like it would be fun.
Yeah, they're planning to host a tournament for it. I think it'll be pretty popular, but we'll see. Because it's a shorter format, right? Obviously, but maybe like an hour or two at most, rather than like 2 to 3, even 4 for a lot of other tournament formats. So remains to be seen like how it'll be recepted, but yeah, there's a lot of potential behind it. And just seeing that like competitive escaping from CAC, like, it's all right. Well, we haven't seen this before, so it'll be interesting to see how it pans out regardless.
It's funny you mentioned that, because that was one of the suggestions in our weekly settings proposal. That's one of the responses, was to feature Escape from CAC.
Yeah,
for weeklies, and honestly, we've been leaning towards it. So
there's no reason why not at this point.
It's a novel concept,
exactly. Right?
Not something you have really seen before competitively. And if it's fun, it's short. Like, that's a winning recipe in my book for like a good setting string. And a lot of the reasons why I think our mixed pools tournaments have been successful—they're fun. It's a really fun way to experience ER. This is very similar to that. So very fun. ER summer is here, baby.
Sweet, sweet.
And then we might get RSL in like a month or two. Like, that's even more ER too. So ER all around for everybody. If you don't like that, we still got Challenge Cup S9. Maybe if you want to start your own tournament, I think the tools are there for, you know, you only need like a team of like maybe 3 people that all are active, and you can do it too. But there's a lot already happening too. So a lot to look forward to this summer, I think. And it's looking pretty bright for 2026, in my opinion. We'll see how the main tournament goes, and, you know, Challenge Cup, and making sure all of that like kind of tournament team and coverage for that could improve, I would say. But we'll see how it shakes out.
Calling all devs, if you want to re-implement a ladder system that works well, please make it. It would be great.
That would be popular. People would play that.
I thought that was already in like race time, like embedded into race time now. I think,
not sure.
I linked to the past, tried it, and it didn't work out or something.
I mean, that could also just be like the implementation too. I don't know if there's like an actual like leaderboard for it either. I don't know.
Because a lot of games have that system already. So, like, and it's been proven to be pretty good and good, you know, just successful. As long as it's implemented right. And so, yeah, you need a dev for that. At the very least, that a server and hope. I don't know.
Speaking of dev work, too, just gonna plug myself real quick.
So give yourself a round of applause here.
It's not even that. I am stepping down from the tournament organization team, but I'm taking like a lesser role. I'm gonna be a like racing consultant, I guess, in a way for like the dev team, kind of. So like,
oh, you'll put the password together system right together. So I feel like you already.
I actually didn't touch that at all. I helped Trez come up with the idea, and then Kirox made all of it. So.
Oh,
and then somehow I got credit for it because
Jimbo just gets all the credit.
Yeah, Ecola said I'm a fucking god or something like that for doing that, and I didn't do a goddamn thing. it was funny.
Hilarious, actually. Yeah. But you're a god. Don't forget that.
Yeah. But it was literally Trez and I talking about a way to do it. It didn't work the way I wanted to do it. Trez came up with the password thing, went to Kirox. Kirox did pretty much all the legwork. And I got credit for it from Ecola, so yeah. Fucking funny. But I'm gonna be helping out the dev team for any new settings that you know the organizers want created for their tournaments for next season. So if you have any ideas, send them my way.
Very nice.
I don't really have too much information on it yet. They just kind of gave me a role and like I haven't said anything.
You didn't set up your laboratory yet. For coding.
So we'll see what's going on with that. But yeah, I'm going to be helping out next season. So I'm not entirely going away. Just stepping down from like the whole like actual tournament organization thing. So.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Thanks again to Chuckles and Jimbo for joining me.
It's been a great didn't cut you off this time, Jimbo. It's been a great episode. If you are offended by anything that you've heard in this episode, please write a message into the mailbag and I will probably delete it.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it was great. I think it was a good episode. I think we covered a lot of good topics. And yeah, like Chuckle said, if anybody's offended, you can actually just DM me, telling me that you were offended, or DM, I guess, any of us and call us assholes. That's fine. But
at least for me, I think you should be the change you want to see in the world. So if you want to see better organization, you should think, you know, of helping yourself. I think it would help the community as a whole. But even beyond that, I think Vanda is very fun right now and we have a lot of potential. It's just that seeing that like the community go to that potential, I think that's the real question mark right now. But anyway, we'll see you all next time on the Gossip Stone podcast.
Bye, bitches.
Whoa. Bye.